The unbelieving world and the unbelieving church sees how they get into this church through rituals. When they think of church, they think of, oh, hey, we got to do baptism, we got to do membership, whatever it might be. That's how I become part of the church. But for the true church, the body of Christ, how is it that we become part of the body of Christ?
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And today is Letter Day, where we have a chance to hear what our listeners are saying about Equipping the Saints.
And Dave, I'd like to take this time when we usually read our listeners' letters or emails or phone messages that they've left for us at Equipping the Saints to share how thankful we are for everyone who has communicated with us, to everyone who has shared how the Lord is using this ministry. Continue to do so. Continue to call us. Continue to write us. It is such an encouragement to us. And I'd also like to just encourage those who have never called us or emailed us or phoned us to just give us a call. Leave a message on our machine concerning how the Lord has used this ministry. It is such a blessing for us to hear what He is doing through His Word. So would you pray about encouraging us and letting us know how God is using His Word? And lastly, I'd like to just thank and praise our Lord for those who faithfully pray for this ministry, and especially those who support this ministry financially. You are part of this ministry, and we are so thankful for you and thankful for what the Lord is doing through you. There's no way we can stay on the radio apart from the Lord's gracious and generous support through you. So thank you so much.
And Greg, today we continue our in-depth look into what the scriptures reveal concerning Jesus.
Yes, we do, Dave. And what we're going to see is so wonderful if our eyes are open to see it. So let's turn right to it. Turn with us to Colossians chapter 1, and we're looking at verse 18.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
And to the church in your house. That's believers meeting in a house. We're the church in the basement right now, or wherever it might be, right? We're meeting together. We're assembling together. Concerning a brother who is in sin in Matthew 18, after trying to win him by exposing sin privately and then going to him with two or three witnesses, Jesus said, Matthew 18, you are to tell it to the church. Does that mean you're going to go to the building and talk to the building? You tell it to the body of Christ, the assembled body of Christ, the church. Tell it to the church. We see in James 5, verse 14, that concerning those who are sin sick, by the way, and that's the context, they're to call for the elders of the church. Church has leadership. What about 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5? But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? It's God's people, and they're being taken care of spiritually. They're being watched over, overseen. And the church is identified at times throughout Scripture by its location of where they are coming together. For instance, Colossians chapter 4, verse 16, and when this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. That means that's a church with a bunch of Laodicean believers in it, and they gather together. And we also see there is teaching in the church. Initially, when the foundation was being laid, apostles and prophets, now through teachers, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. He has appointed in the church. And what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 4? He says, for this reason I have sent you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. The word of God is taught to the body of Christ assembled in the church. We see that the church is the pillar and support of the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. But in case I'm delayed, Paul writes to Timothy, I write so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God. There's certain ways we ought to be within the body of Christ in the household of God, as we assemble together, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. And I alluded to this earlier, but do not forget, it is not my church, or at least I go here. It's not your church, well, at least you go here. It always bothered me, and I take it with a grain of salt. I don't want to pick harsh words because people's intent aren't what we think at times. People say, that's Greg's church. Well, no, it's not. It's the Lord's church. It's the Lord's church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. It's his church, as we're going to see. And it's his church because he's the head. It's his church because he's the originator who brought it about through his blood and death and burial and resurrection. It's his church. So now within our passage, back in our passage, notice he is the head of the body, the church. So what is this term, the body? The body. So he is the head of the body, he's the head of the church. Those two words are in opposition, which means he's saying the same thing. I am Greg, husband. Greg and husband, right? He's the head of the body, the church, right? Okay, that's what he's... So here we have this term body, which is clearly the church. Indeed, Paul made this clear. Turn a little farther up in Colossians 1, 24. Just a little ways up. He says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share. He's like rejoicing in it. On behalf of his body, which is the church. Can't be clearer than that, can it? His body, which is the church. We see in Ephesians 1 that he put all things in subjection under his feet, 1:22, and gave him head over all things to the church, which is his body, Ephesians 1:23. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church, he himself being the savior of the body. The body is the church, and we're going to see it's the body. But yet, what is it? It's the body of Christ. But what does that mean? What does it mean? Well, God hasn't left us in the dark. He has given us an understanding through our own bodies, in a sense. We have this metaphorical understanding. He's talking about the body of Christ metaphorically, in a sense. We can understand our physical bodies, and those model and illustrate the spiritual body, as we're going to see. Because he says here, he is the head of the body. And so, like our physical bodies have many members and one head. I have one head, but I got lots of fingers. I got lots of toes. I've got arms. I've got all kinds of members. So there's many members. And indeed, Paul elaborates on this. Romans chapter 12. Let's turn to Romans 12. Romans 12:4. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function. That's speaking of the physical body, right? He says, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We're connected. This thumb is part of this body with this forefinger. They're connected. We're connected here under the head, right? How about 1 Corinthians 12:12? Turn there. For even as the body is one, yet has many members, that's just speaking of a physical body, and the members of the body, though there are many, are one body. So also is Christ. Many members, not all the same functions. It would be kind of an ugly body if it was all a toe, or all a finger, or all a thumb, or whatever. So we get the picture here that with our one physical body, there are many different parts, but there's the head that controls the body. And so also in the spiritual, we have Jesus Christ as the head of his body, the body of Christ. It is his body. We are a part of it. We are members of it. Now, the unbelieving world and the unbelieving church sees how they get into this church through rituals. When they think of church, they think of, oh, hey, we got to do baptism. We got to do membership, whatever it might be. That's how I become part of the church. But for the true church, the body of Christ, how is it that we become part of the body of Christ? Well, Paul shares in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we're all made to drink of one spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. When we believe, we were placed into. The term baptized or bapto means to place into. They would take a cloth and place it into, baptize it into dye, and it would come out a different color. We are identified with what we are placed into. And when we believe, the Spirit of God placed us into the body of Christ, and we are now identified as those in the body of Christ. So how do we become a part of this body? By faith. By faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:26, for you are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Then he explains, for all of you who were baptized are placed into Christ Jesus, have clothed yourself with Christ. When we believed in Jesus Christ, we received the Spirit of God and we were placed into union with Christ and other members of the body. We are in the body of Christ. Christ is the head. And see, now his death and resurrection applies to us. And we have been redeemed and physically redeemed. We've been forgiven and cleansed of our sins. And we are in Christ. We are also new creations. It's a new creation. The body of Christ is not something old. It is a new creation. We are new creations when we enter a relationship with Jesus Christ. We were created initially, the old creation. That old creation is running down, I tell you that. But we are new creations in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, that they who live should live no longer for themselves. That means when your desires pop up, you want something. I want his desire, right? Themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. We don't see you in your fleshly body as that's who you are, because you're someone else. You're someone else. It says here, even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, we're in the body of Christ, we have a relationship with him through faith, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away and new things have come. This is the new creation. So the church is a living organism. It is a spiritual organism. It is the body of Christ. It consists of those who have been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son. It consists of those who have redemption, the forgiveness of sins through his blood. So my question is this. Have you become a member of the church? What do I mean by that? Are you in the body of Christ? Have you trusted in Jesus? Have you believed in him? Because that's when you become part of the body of Christ. So back to our passage, it says, he is also head of the body, the church. Okay, so now with the understanding of what he says, he's the head. Okay, pretty simple illustration, but this is one of the most ignored truths in the lives of many believers and in churches. Let me give you some examples, physically speaking, let me illustrate. Does the physical body take its commands and direction from the toes? No. Does the physical body take its commands and directions from our backsides? No. From our shoulders, from our legs, from our parts, from our fingernails? No. It doesn't take its direction from the members. It is the head that controls the physical body. And when the physical body is not being controlled by the head, the physical body, it looks wrong. Something's wrong. Take this horrible disease, MS. Horrible disease. And unfortunately, some of you are well aware that MS, the brain slowly no longer controls the body because the pathways are broken down. And when the brain ceases to control the body, we have disaster. And it is very obvious to those who are healthy. Sad thing. Well, praise the Lord. If you have that and you're a believer, you're getting a new body. So praise the Lord. So too with the church. When the body ceases to submit to the head individually and corporately, we have disaster, which is obvious to all who are healthy. We have disaster. So what's the problem in the church in America? No headship. There's a quote from an old Greek manuscript using one of these words concerning preeminence and headship. It says, this is thousands of years ago, never does a house fail to come to grief when the woman takes the lead in everything. Now, that could be all of us,
the woman, the men, when we take the lead in the body of Christ, we are in trouble. We are in deep trouble because he is the head. And God has ordered relationships. He has ordered relationships. And he is, not will be, not might be, he is the head of the body. Now I ask you, have you ever seen a chicken with its head cut off? Running around, flapping, gyrating. That's what the church looks like these days. Church fundraisers, fireworks stands, secret sensitive services, auditions for musical talent, gourmet coffee, every type of ministry and program you can think of. Sermons about the word are yet worse, about books rather than the preaching of the word, and it goes on and on. You look at it, it's a chicken with its head cut. The problem is, there are those who follow those who are not holding fast to the head. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. You see, we could be defrauded of our reward and our prize, by the way, if we listen to these people. If you yoke yourself, you listen to them, you can be defrauded of your prize. Colossians 2:18, let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking the stand of visions he's seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head. That is Christ, the head of the body of Christ, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. Our problem individually is not holding fast to the head. Our problem in the church is not holding fast to the head. He is the head. He has rights over us. He is to direct us if we let him direct us. Otherwise, something's very wrong. Jesus said, I will build my church. He didn't say, I'm going to build your church. He said, I'm going to build my church. And clearly, he is the cornerstone of the foundation of the church. We see that in 1 Peter chapter 2. We see, behold, I lay in Zion a choice cornerstone, a precious cornerstone. Whoever believes in him shall not be disappointed. We see in Ephesians 2:19, so then you're no longer strangers and aliens, but fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Having been, already done, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building is being fitted together, growing into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. The reality is, he builds us up. He's the head. He's the one that is the cornerstone of the church. And again, I just mentioned that, but what is it that builds us up in the church? Turn to Ephesians 4. You want to see the whole context here as we look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4:11. Context is to walk in a manner worthy. And he's given certain giftings to bring about maturity and faith in the Son of God. Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. They're the ones that bring the word out, right? Apostles and prophets, foundational. We have the word of God. Evangelists bring the foundational gospel, right? And pastor teachers, right? Pastor teachers. For the equipping of the saints, right? Equipping of the saints, right? For the work of service to the building up. Notice this, of what? The body of Christ. That's us individually and together. He says here, until we obtain what? Here's the goal. The unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. It's about Jesus. To mature man to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, being built up by those gifts through the word of God, right? As a result, we're no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. There's bad people out there. God's telling you that. But speaking the truth in love, notice this, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head. Even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And what is it that builds us up? It's the word of God. Acts 20:32. And now I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among those who are sanctified. It is God through his word by his spirit that directs his body. And we choose either to submit to God or to rebel against him. He gives us clear instructions, and that's why we need to be filled with the knowledge of his will and then willing to do it and trusting him and letting him work it through us. It's the Word of God. It equips us and builds us so that we'll function properly under the head. The head is telling us what to do, sending the signals through the Word of God to us what to do. Now, does your life resemble a life connected to the head, submitting to him? Or are you disconnected, tossed over, bringing shame to his name? Does your church resemble a church connected to the head? Is everything done in humble dependence to the head of the church, the Lord Jesus, through his word? And if he is the head, and he is, then we need to listen to him and we need to obey him. So then, we have an accurate picture of Jesus concerning the church. He is the head of the body, the church. But notice also, he is the supreme Lord over this new creation. He's not just the head, he's also the Lord of it. Notice what it says here, and he is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. Notice he says here, first of all, he is the beginning. You go, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? He's not saying, it's in the present tense. He is continually, habitually the beginning. It's not saying he was the beginning. He's continued. The word beginning is arche. It speaks of the beginning. It speaks of the source or originating power. It speaks of, and carries the idea of priority in time and dignity in position. Jesus Christ is the source. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the beginning of the church. Nothing came about in the church apart from him. That makes him preeminent. He's who brought it about, as we'll see. He is the originating power. He's the active cause, continually, habitually. No one comes into the church apart from trusting in Jesus Christ and what he's done for them. No one is part of the body of Christ apart from that. It originates in him. We saw this new birth earlier in chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. We saw that we are to be giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light, for he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And we are new creations in Christ. So if he is the head of the church and he is the ongoing source, originating power, it's not us then, right? So we need to trust him. We don't make things up. We don't decide what goes on in the church. He's the beginning. We don't have anything to do with that. He is the one who is the source in power. Now, we need to function by God's wisdom and not man's wisdom. You know, when we function by man's wisdom, it's adultery. And we need to confess, because God gives a greater grace. And therefore, he says, submit to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you, right? If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. You want to go the world's ways in your life. You want to take on their advice. You're putting yourself at odds with the Lord. The blessed man does not listen or sit and walk in the counsel of the wicked, right? But in God's law, he meditates day and night. So then he is the supreme Lord, being the founder, in a sense, the beginning, the arche, right? He's the beginning. He is.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, if Christ is the head of the church and the ongoing source of originating power, and he is, then how should we as believers respond?
Well, Dave, as we've seen, it's simply this. We need to submit to the Lord. We need to obey him. We need to trust him. And we need to do so rather than trusting in our own wisdom or the world's wisdom, especially when it comes to the church, his body. Well, we've got so much more to see concerning our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. So join us next time for our next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.